The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church with Reverend Jimmy Crishan.
Church.
Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus our Christ this morning. On this last Sunday in January, today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. May our hearts rejoice. May our hearts sing. May our hearts be open. And may our hearts receive grace and mercy and love from God. Let us pray. Gracious, loving, and merciful God, thank you for this opportunity to come together to worship and praise you, to come together as your church, to come in fellowship and to share. Bless this time with us together. Let us worship you now in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the church, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 31. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," the hat would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable and we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. The Word of God for the people of God.
Now, if you like to write in your Bibles and kind of keep some notes, let me give you a few verses. I'm not going to preach on 31 verses. We'd be here 31 days. But we'll look at a few verses as we go through this morning. Chapter 12 is the introduction. So get your pencil and your Bible ready, and I'll give you those verses. Chapter 12 is actually the introduction of chapter 13, which we know in 1 Corinthians is the love chapter. It talks about love. And Paul introduces that with that last verse, and I will show you a more excellent way. So chapter 12 introduces us, but chapter 12 is the transitionary chapter in this book, this letter. And he says, and now, and he begins to put things together for us as believers. And for us as believers, now he's going to talk about these gifts of the Spirit. He's going to talk about the unity in the body. And I want us to look at just a few of these verses this morning as we kind of go into this text. The first one is the first verse. It's important that we get that he says, now, and he's moving on, he's starting this. He says, now, concerning. So verse 1 is important. Verse 7 is we'll be there in a few minutes, so verse 7. But verse 11, then verse 20, verse 25b, we're starting at the but, if you will, there in verse 25, and then 27. Those will be the verses that kind of is where I kind of go through. I'm going to do this like I told Sunday school this morning. I'm going to kind of tiptoe the tulips. I'm just going to pull a few up as we go to make a little bouquet so that we could enjoy them. So as we look at Paul's letter here, it's important that we notice that he begins it out, now I want you to know about these because I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be informed. I want you to know about these things, and I want you to know about them. Now, kind of hold that out here and hold on to it. How many of us have ever asked, who am I? What am I going to be? How am I going to be? how am I going to make it? I think every one of us at some point in our life has wondered, who am I? What am I called to? Is this all there is? What am I going to leave behind? And I'm not talking about money. We've asked those questions, those rhetorical questions, self-reflecting questions, questions of self-evaluation to figure out, who am I? What, you know, where am I? And I know every kid, and I was talking with Nick back there, faces, what am I going to be? And, you know, sometimes we as parents say, well, what are you going to be? You know, you're going to college, and you know, what are you going to do? And, you know, today's youth have less of an idea than they ever have in the history of our nation. as to who and what and where. It seems like things change so fast that a job market that looks like it's going to be there, by the time they get out of school, it's gone. You know, it's so volatile that things are just so, and you know, I think what we're seeing is more general education degrees coming back that prepares that person to go out and then specialize, having secured some job or position. That's an aside. Now, what we've got going on is Paul is talking about the body, and it's a wonderful illustration. It's great. Paul, you know, it's just, how many of you have read this before? How many of you remember I've already preached on this here before? Okay, two. So I can rerun it. All right, can I? It's actually not the same sermon. If you keep notes, you'll notice one spirit, one and all. This one is, who are we? Because we want to ask this question, and we want to answer it. The world tries to define you and put you in a box. It wants to put a label on you and wants to stick it to you and make you stick to it. The world gives us one way of measuring who we are. And so often it defines us by what we do. You know, you're a teacher because you teach. And we have to be careful. You know, you're a CPA because you're a math nerd. You know, you're a number cruncher. Or you're a scientist because as a kid you made a lot of messes, mixing things together, you know. But the world then wants to label you and it wants to box you in. And then we at the church have to be really careful that we don't do the same thing. We kind of look out there and say, well, we need some people to serve on some committees, and we've got some teachers, so we want them to be our Sunday school teachers. And now we've got some CPAs and we've got some financially gifted people. We want them to be on our committee on finance. And then we look around and we say, well, we got those guys who are good with construction, building things. We want them on our trustees. And that may not be where God's called them in the first place. Because you know something, I've noticed that a lot of people are doing jobs just to do the jobs. They're not happy in them. They're not content in them. There's no fulfillment in them. It's a means to an end. And their life is different and they know that. It is so wonderful, and some of you probably know this, that when you have a job that allows you to do what you feel is right, how wonderful that is. Now, I can't testify for any of you, but for me, being a pastor, I never, in my wildest dreams, you've heard me say this before, dreamed of being a pastor. Never. It was absolutely never on the radar. But now, I don't know of anything else I could be. Now, let me tell you, it doesn't fit my gifts and talents, in all honesty. I'm mechanically inclined. I can fix almost anything but a broken heart. I can rebuild any engine that's out there. Transmissions, no problem. They don't bother me. It just works. I know how it works. It fits together. It works. It won't. I always tell people, you can't fix it. It won't go together but one way. And if you've got bolts left, just throw them in the box. That way you have a collection. I had a guy come in my shop. You know, I did run an auto repair business for years, and I had a 5-gallon bucket of bolts, leftover stuff. And a guy come in, and he said, I need a 12-millimeter bolt about 1 inch. I said, well, go back there in the bucket. And he went back there, and he stood there for a minute, and he said, Jimmy, where did these come from? I said, they were not necessary. And you've been working on my cars for 2 years. Have I got any bolts in there? I said, probably the one you're looking for. You know, that's the gift. I love woodworking. I can build your house. I love it. Man, there's just nothing to me like sawdust. The smell of sawdust and fresh cut wood. And driving that nail, watching those walls come up. Oh, man, what the rough-end work, you know. Oh, how many of you enjoy that? Really, honest. I mean, it's like out of nothing, the house rises, you know, and the next thing you know, you're building someone a place where they will be safe and they'll be warm and the families will grow and the memories will be, oh, those are my, I love that stuff. You don't get to do that a lot as a preacher, you know. It just isn't, you know, that is what I love to do. But now what I am is what I love. Because it's where God calls us. That's Paul's point. God has a call upon our life that the world need not define, and that we as a church need not define either. That within the body of Christ is diversity, differences, hands and fingers and ears and toes and all of those parts. And they make us up unique. And we are brought together by one thing and one gift, and that's the gift that the Christian has. And that's the Holy Spirit. Paul says, when you were pagans, you were deceived by idols that could not speak. But we as Christians believe in a God that speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. That Spirit speaks in all of us and unites us and brings us together. Folks, there's two kinds of people in the world, lost and saved. Pagans and believers. That's it. Two kinds. Folks, there isn't a straddling fence there. There's two kinds. So let's move on a little bit. Don't you like these glasses? Aren't they, they're cool looking, aren't they? Not really, but they're comfortable. You know what happens? You know what happens? I go through about 4 pair a week. And these are the cheapest thing you can buy at Home Depot. They've got the cheapest. Yeah. Isn't that the place where you buy glasses? Is Home Depot? They don't just sell plumbing stuff. I mean, these things are $2. You can't get them for that at the dollar store. They won't sell you glasses for $1. So anyway, here they are. They're stylish and they're profiling. They're tough as nails, but they are comfortable. They don't fall off, you know. If you're doing the rock thing, you know, when you hit, anyway, that's it. To each, verse 7, is given, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, it's given. Now, this is why we exist as Christians, and this is why God works in our life, and this is who we are, and this is what's going on in our lives. It's the manifestation. In other words, it is the coming alive. It is the vision. It is all of those things. It's what makes it real. To manifest something means to make it real, to let it come alive, and to let it be, and to let it breathe. For we all have the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. No Christian has the gifts of the Spirit just for themselves. We are not to be selfish with that which God calls us to. We're to share that for the common good. It's to go outside of us, but it's into the good of the household of the faithful, into the community, to build up the body of Christ. Because a healthy body is a body that can reach out into the world around it. A complete body can be complete as it reaches out. But to do all of those things, it has to have the different members. But it's that manifestation that is given out for the common good. Folks, that's why we are Christians. This is at the heart of who we are. Who we are as Christians is about the common good of reaching out into the lives of one another. It begins in the church. And I'm not just talking about inside 1515 Egger Street. You see, the body of Christ is everyone who believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior, who believes that He's the Son of God, who suffered, died, and rose on the cross, or suffered, died, and rose from the grave. We are all, and it's out there. How many of you realize how small the world is? It is. I told this story on Facebook in Sunday school this morning. How many of you have fellowship with Christians outside of your neighborhood? Maybe outside of your house, you know that it's bigger, you know. And today we connect so much through these different social medias. I was talking to a guy that I didn't even know until we had a conversation and we hooked up to another media and we started talking about our faith journey, and he was in New Zealand. Go figure. You know, I'm in Rock Springs, Wyoming, talking to a Christian in New Zealand. And we're talking about Jesus, and we just stopped what we were doing and we start talking about Jesus. And the next thing you know, we're having a Holy Ghost experience right there, you know, and he's in New Zealand, I'm in Rock Springs. It's one body. It is, this is important, one spirit. One body and one spirit. One body and it's about unity in diversity. And the diversity is necessary to have the unity. There must be diversity to have unity. Do you get that? We have to be different. But that difference is still to be connected in the one. How many of you want to participate in a little experiment? Come on. I've always wanted somebody to take me up on this. Will you? Okay. Now this is a test to see if their fingers are connected to their bodies. I want to smash somebody's finger. I've always wanted to do it. And then for them to tell me it just hurt the finger. Come on. Nobody ever takes me up on this. I'm not doing it to myself because I know better. Because the first thing that happens when I mash my finger is, and you do a little dance. How many of you do? You know the dance. And you say things. Don't you tell me you don't. Don't you tell me that Jesus just left for a minute. Because he said, I can't hear that. La, 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 la. Yeah. And it's going through. If you don't say it, you're thinking it. You know, I got a word that comes out, and it's old sugar. It just as soon as I, just as soon as I, and back in the South, we smash it. You know, you how you push stuff or you mash stuff. Back in the South, we smash it. Do you know what the difference is? Smashing violence. You know, we get on with it. You know, it just is an easy thing to go on. But we're all connected, and it's that diversity, and it's that connection, and that connection should be emotional. That connection should be spiritual. That connection should be in mission and ministry, even in the diversity, working toward the common good. And what is it? The common good is to lift up the body of Christ that the world may see Christ in us. And that the world may see another alternative lifestyle. The church should not look like the world. It should not be caving in to the world's wants, whims. It should not be caving in to popular opinion, but into what the Word of God says, leads it, and directs it. The church should be different. Jesus says, while you are in this world, you're not of this world. If the world loves you, know this, that you're wrong. Know this, that if it hates you, it hated me first. Church, we're called to be different, peculiar, and set apart. To be with the body of Christ. And that may cause some pain along the way, but it can cause some great joy. All these are activated by one, this is verse 11, and the same Spirit who allocates, who gives out to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. Have you noticed everybody's different? Some are really different, you know. Some are really different. Some shouldn't drive cars in the snow. Some shouldn't drive cars, period. Yeah, it's remarkable. Anyway, I digress. People are different. People are often considered strange. Have you ever been considered strange? Raise your hand if you've been considered strange or special. Yeah, that's a nice way of saying you're strange, isn't it? Yeah. But that's okay, isn't it? You know, I like it. I like being odd and different. I'm an oddity, and it's okay. People don't know sometimes what to do with me. That's okay, because I like to watch them try to figure it out. It's fun, you know. I like to start conversations. You know, it's really fun. Do you know, if you walk up to somebody, I did this the other day. At the funeral home, there was somebody there, and they were about 75. And I shook their hand. I said, Pastor Jim, good to meet you. And I've met them before, by the way. I just don't walk into strangers. And I said, what did you want to be when you grew up? At the funeral home, well, you can talk to people. They're not all dead. There's only just one or two in there that won't talk back. You can still ask them. They just got a blank stare, you know. Anyway, are you afraid of dead people? Good. Because they ain't going to do nothing to you. I mean, that's the best place in the world to sleep, because they ain't going to say nothing. They don't even snore. You know? It amazes me people are afraid of dead, you know. But anyway, yeah, and it was funny. When I asked her that, she said, I think I'm grown up. I said, really? And she said, well, you know, I always wanted to raise puppies. I said, did you ever raise puppies? She said, no, I raised kids. There was no time for puppies. I said, you got time for puppies now? And the reason I had this conversation was we had buried her husband a few months before that, and she was very lonely. So she said, you know what? I'm going to raise some puppies. Now, life moves on. In our lives, there are seasons. In our journeys, there are seasons. And we need to be able to be flexible to the Spirit's call in our lives. As the seasons change, God will often change what we're called to. How many of you see wintertime as a season of dead? It's not. It's actually the most important time for the non-evergreen trees. You know, they grew all summer. Hopefully. And when the winter time comes, that sap goes right back down into the roots. But guess what? There's more up there now than there was before. So that tree during the winter time has to expand its root system so that it's ready for the spring. And it finds new sources of strength and nourishment. And in the spring, the new life comes back. Wintertime can often be a time of preparing for change in our faith journey, and those seasons are there too. Well, Pastor, I can't do as much as I used to. Well, do something. Raise puppies. Send cards. Make phone calls. The ministry of a smile goes a long way. The ministry of presence is ever important. I'm going to hurry. I know I'm on overtime now. I already saw some of you look at your watch and go. I used to have the habit, and it wouldn't help you none. I used to have the habit when I first started preaching to take my watch off and lay it on the pulpit. And Frank Moffitt, Frank just died a few weeks ago. He was my first lay leader. And he said, do you know what that means when Jimmy takes off his watch? Nothing. It just means it's in the way. It goes by the calendar instead of the clock anyway. So, you know, it's, you know, don't put no roast in on Sunday. They're going to burn up. So let's look at 14. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. That's true, isn't it? And we as Christians need to realize that people aren't going to be like us always. That they're going to be at different places and different stages. Just kind of hold on to that. Now let's run over to verse 20. And it is, there are many members, yet one body. Do you see this word one that keeps going all the way through this text? This one and one body, one body, one body, one body. And then we arrive down at 25b, but may be no dissension. Whole church, can you hear this? All of this work that God is doing, all of this diversity that God's bringing together, that there may be no dissension, that there may be no dissension with the body, but the members may have the same care one for another. I want to praise God that in the time I've been with you, we have been pretty good friends as a church. There hasn't been like monstrous arguments and stuff and dissension. Dissension tearing down, and And we do grieve when somebody leaves and moves on and changes and goes in a different direction. But there isn't a dissension. There isn't a hatred. There isn't a running of that person down because they're not here and they've moved on and things like that. Folks, that's wonderful. That's the way it's supposed to be. We shouldn't be tearing anybody down. We should all remember, how many of us are perfect? Have you ever made a mistake? Just a couple? I made one this morning, and it's hurting right now. How many of you enjoy cutting your toenails? Yeah, you do it, don't you? Let you try that after you've had a spinal fusion. You know how hard those toes are to get to? And guess what I did? I didn't just get the toenail on one this morning. I got the whole tip of it. Because I got these big old monster clippers things. And right now, it is burning. And sometimes we make mistakes that we have to outlive, don't we? That we have to get on the other side of. Don't ever forget that you had to do that and somebody else will too. Don't you ever think for a moment because you've arrived that you have the right to point your finger and judge somebody because they're going through a hard time, because they're making mistakes, and because they're not doing what you think they should do. Get off of that. You ain't got that pay grade, and I don't either. It's about that diversity. Everybody's at a different place. It's about loving them in it. It's about loving them through it. It's about letting them be part of the body of Christ. How many of you ever had a stomach ache? You know, did you decide to go have some kind of stomach surgery or removal because your stomach hurt, or did you bear with it? How many of you ever had appendicitis? Did you go to the doctor and say, just cut me in half, you know, just take it out or something? You know, we took it out and we're better for it because it was disease. That happens too. That's the hard part. That's another sermon for another day. So who are you? Is the question, not what are you? Who are we? Is the better question. I would encourage you this morning to never utter that question again of who am I? Because you don't live in a vacuum. And as a Christian, you aren't an am anymore. You're a we. Who are we? Who am I? In the body of Christ. Notice what verse 27 says. For you are now. Now you are what? Part of the body of Christ. You're no longer a lone ranger. You've been brought in. You're not just saved from something. You're saved into something. And you've been brought into the body of Christ. You're part of it. It's worldwide. It's interconnected. It's all connected through the Holy Spirit. And that's who we are. Let God define who we are. Not the world, not job, not occupation, not education, not socioeconomics, but let God define who we are in the body of Christ. Stop letting people stick labels on you and then adhering to them. If they stick it on, tear it off if it don't fit and give it back. Tell them God defines me. And that may be that you're a carpenter, a mechanic, or a school teacher, and all of those things, and I pray that it will, and that you find joy and peace and challenge and growth in those areas of your life. But I also want you to remember, you are part of the body of Christ. That's who you are. First and foremost, let God define who you are. Don't let the world define it, label you, and stick you in it and pigeonhole you. I have been pigeonholed all my life because I am a white southern boy with a southern accent. I'm the enemy of the world. I'm a racist just because I'm a white man from the South. Never mind that I went to a black seminary. Never mind that I hate racism with a passion. You don't know what I saw as a kid growing up that I despised and was wanting to just throw up. But I get labeled that. Didn't I get labeled that, Kent? I mean, he knows somebody level because I'm a white southern and have a southern accent. Guess what else? I get labeled as a stupid hillbilly and redneck. Man, that got stuck on me down at the hospital. You remember the story, don't you? They treated me like I was a complete idiot, and I dismissed them. And the doctor come back in, I explained to him. I got more education than they do. Probably got more money in it than they do, and certainly don't get it back as quick as they do. But don't let the world define you, but stand up for who God says you are. When God calls you, remember to answer the call. And here's the deal. It's either yes or it's no. With God, there is a yes, then no. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. If God hasn't said yes, then the answer must be no. I've been going through that myself in the last few days and really come down to it in the last few. I just got to tell you, I've been struggling with some stuff that I just didn't know what to do about. And I wanted to do something, you know. Have you ever been in that limbo and you just wish something would break? You know, something would go on? It's kind of like having a car that won't fully break. You know, you don't trust it. You go out there and it starts one time, but the next time it don't. And then you go back in 10 minutes and it starts. So you don't know whether it's broke. You don't know what's broke. You can't figure it out. Sometimes you just want things to move on. And be careful in our lives. And I'm talking from myself right now to you. I'm just being honest. The stuff I've been struggling with don't have anything to do with family and all that stuff. Just personal stuff. I just wanted some relief, I guess, you know. It's kind of like Jerry Clower and the guy in the tree, you know. He said, shoot up here among us, somebody needs some relief. But I just wanted things to move on. But folks, if you don't hear a yes from God, that means you've heard a no. Don't make a move until you hear a yes from God, until you know that's what God's calling you to. No move is the best move until you hear from God. So who are we? We're who God determines we are. Not the world, not the neighbor, not society, but who God determines who we are. Don't ever think for a moment that God don't love you, that you've messed up, that you can't be, that you're not worthy. Don't think for a moment, because if you think that, reevaluate the God you're in a relationship with, because the God I know, the God of John, the God of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Paul, that God says, I'm going to use those reprobates down there. I'm going to use those tax collectors. I'm going to use those fishermen. I'm going to use that murdering Paul who used to be Saul to go to the Gentiles. Just remember, read the book. He used some really rough people to accomplish great things. Who are you? Let God determine that. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Our gracious and loving God, may you define us. But may we realize that we are part of the one, the body of Christ, and that we're called into his purpose by his love. And through his grace. And Father, let us remember that it is by grace we are saved, and that grace is greater than our sin, and we are redeemed into a family, the body of Christ. Part of it is here at 1515 Eckerd Street, but it extends beyond. And we don't stop being the body just because we go to a different place in a few minutes. It doesn't stop being a body just because we go to work on Monday. We're still the body of Christ. And Father, when one hurts, we should all hurt. When one is concerned, we should all be concerned. When one rejoices, we should all rejoice. For we are one body. Father, help us not to be defined by the world's standards, but by your love and grace. Let us not hear from the enemy more than we hear from you. And if we do hear from him, let us stand fast in you. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted to you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go defined by who God says we are. And may we go knowing God with us, in us, and through us, and in others around the world to know that we are part of the body of Christ, his arms, his hands, his feet. May we go now as the body of Christ, and as the body of Christ, share with the world love and grace, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. And may you go in the peace and grace of God that surpasses all understanding. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.